prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is, well, hard to believe, the last Monday night for July. I cannot believe we're going to start the eighth month of the year in just a few days. It is 28 July 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. And before getting further, we are going to try to have Bible study this weekend. I hope you'll join us. You can join us live if you like, and I wish you would. You can watch us live if you want to by just going to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and find Rumble on there and click right on that. And there will be a 10:30 a.m. Eastern, first half hour, as always, dedicated to prayer requests and praise reports. And then at 11:30, we get into Christian Worldview News. Prophecy in the news happening as we speak. And then at 1 o'clock, we get into a Bible study. I hope you'll join us, folks. Go to PastorBush.com and click on Rumble at 10:30, and there will be 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Or you can call 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. And join us that way on the phone. And I'll be giving out a phone number because you can call in if you want to while we're teaching or doing the news. And you'll be seeing it on the screen if you're watching on video. So I hope you'll join us. I really mean that. We do that so you're there with us and we can have you come and join us and just be part of the family because you truly are. Whether you are out there with this helping us just by praying for us, which is a key factor, you're part of the family. Don't ever think you're not important to us because you are. I mean, I may not always think to mention it, but please don't think you're not important to us. And don't think that we're above you giving us a call and talking to us because we do want to hear from you. It's important to us that you know that you're welcome on our program at any time if you want to talk to us. As I said before, I'm just a hillbilly preacher, nobody special. But I am trying to serve the Lord, and I know you are too. Let's do it together. Let's take a battle, stand in a battle together. Let's rejoice together. But let's just stand together in Christ's name, okay? Now, our guest tonight, well, another man, he just got out of jail. And guess what his crime was? Pastor Arthur Pulaski in Canada was thrown in prison for kicking the so-called authorities out of his church and preaching in the streets and feeding the hungry. Our guest tonight, Pastor Derek Reamer, well, he got in trouble for asking a librarian why she is showing male nudity to children in the library and then preaching in front of the library. He spent over 60 days in prison because he preached the Bible, the truth, to people in the streets. Now, this is what's happening. Now, this right now is in Canada. But don't you think it can't and hasn't happened here in the good old U.S. of A., and don't think it's not going to get much worse in the very near future. Pastor Derek, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's good to have you, and I do mean that. I've followed your case as close as I could, and I try to keep up with it, and every now and then I get a text from your wife, and she filled me in. The last one I got, it's been a couple weeks ago, and I answered and found that was from you, actually. I thought it was from your wife, and you were out. That was a great thing to hear, and a prayer answered. Before going further, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well. It's different being out. It's different kind of worries or stresses or concerns than being in jail, obviously. But, you know, I'm happy to be with my family and just kind of one thing at a time here with kind of reintegrating back into life and work or, you know, the next legal battles, which we're going to get into. So just settling in.
And just get everybody up to date, because a lot of folks, maybe we have new listeners all the time, and they don't maybe know who you are, but tell us who Pastor Derek Creamer is. Give us a little bit of a bio about yourself, and, you know, where you're from, what you've done, and how you got involved in all this.
Yeah, absolutely. I started a ministry. It's called Mission 7 Ministries about 9 years ago on the streets of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I started to feed the homeless, preach the gospel, and pray for the sick. And, it grew into a ministry where we have a weekly lunch now, and we have the lunch out for the less fortunate with preaching and praying and a hot meal. And the Lord has something else for me as well, and that started 2.5 years ago. And it's a movement called Exposing Darkness that's from Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And he just put it on my heart that we need to peacefully and lawfully protest these drag queen story events where they're sexualizing kids, corrupting kids, robbing them of their innocence, and speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. And we would go and essentially have a church service outside of the venue that's hosting these drag events. We would have signs. We would have somebody singing songs. We would be preaching. We would be rebuking. We would be inviting them into the gospel of Jesus Christ and relationship with him. All of the above. And we were really effective with what we did. We had shut down about 15 events in a matter of about 6 to 8 weeks. And the mayor took exception to this, as her child is a transgender teenager. This mayor is obviously not being a mayor for all the people. And I went on a Twitter rant explaining how the bylaws aren't severe enough and they need to criminalize this. So shortly after one of our protests, there had never been any charges. Again, this is according to our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and we are Christians, we are peaceful, there's no violence, there's no threats or anything of that nature, and that's never intended. And that's so there was no charges laid. And then after this Twitter rant, hate units, the police had showed up at my house charging me for one of these protests. So I had been charged numerous times. I had been into
a lot of question. What was the charge? What was the specific charge on that?
The charge was mischief and causing a disturbance. So we had always been outside of the venues, and it had come to me like, you know what, why don't we go inside? Let's check out what's happening inside these libraries. These are public buildings funded by our tax dollars, and I'm the public, and I'm a Christian man, and I'm not okay with this, and I want to say something. So we did exactly that. We went and we expressed how we felt, and we rebuked it, and we opposed it, and said you should not, you know, expose your kids to this type of perversion. And I was actually physically thrown out of the program room, and I continued to preach and explain how homosexuality and transgenderism is a sin according to the Bible, and to repent and turn to the living God. And then cops had eventually showed up, and they'd asked me to leave. Otherwise, it'd be trespass. I peacefully left, and there was not a problem until, like I said, that mayor, she went on Twitter, and now the cops were after me. They had charged me. And, you know, with that particular charge, that had happened 2.5 years ago. I had been acquitted of that charge, or both of those charges, last year, but the Crown wasn't satisfied. So the Crown prosecutor, he had appealed my acquittal, my not guilty verdict. And well, just
can they do that? Can they legally do that?
Yeah, they can.
Down here, that's called double jeopardy.
Okay, yeah, I've learned that in the States. It's a bit different. But, yeah, here they can do that. So now my acquittal got overturned, and now it's going to a retrial as if nothing happened.
Oh, my goodness. Molly, before I get this, I got to say something, Derek. Folks, you listen to broadcast tonight and on rerun or live, and my voice sound different because we're still on the telephone. We have having trouble with our connection to the studio. It's been a mess since lightning hit everything last week and knocked out the modem to the internet and all kinds of things. So please bear with us. We'll get it fixed as soon as possible. So the voice, if the sound quality is not as good, it cannot be helped. We're doing the best we can, as fast we can, to get it fixed, dude. Anyway, back to your guest, Derek Creamer. So they actually, you were found innocent. They let you go, and then they charge you for the same thing again.
Well, the judge had overturned my not guilty verdict and declared that it should go to a retrial.
But how was that? Was it a jury trial or just a judge? Just a judge found you innocent.
It was a judge.
So what, did the same judge overturn it?
No, they had a different judge overturn it.
Oh my goodness! Talk about a setup. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when I got charged originally for this, we had continued to protest, but working in the parameters of these bail conditions, because I had been arrested 3 times in 5 weeks. I had spent 43 days in jail, and this is 2 years ago, keep in mind. And then it came to me, well, why don't I go to the library the day before an event, or just go there and talk to the manager that there's these upcoming drag events, and this isn't okay. So I thought, that's within my rights. Then I'm abiding by my bail conditions because I can't go to libraries. I can't attend events. I can't protest on those event days. So we would sometimes then go before and do a public announcement of what's transpiring at the library. So I thought, okay, after we do that, let's go inside and talk to the manager. So I called for the manager, and I just said to her, do you think it's okay to have these pervert grooming sessions, is what I referred to them at the time. And she says, you know what, well, I'm offended, and you're going to have to leave. And I said, that's fine. I said, I'm offended at the corruption and sexualization of children. And I peacefully left. Our interaction lasted about 90 to 100 seconds. That's it. I don't know this person at all. I just want to talk to them as the public that I'm not okay with this. But I'll peacefully leave, and I want to express that, which is within my rights. I posted our interaction on Facebook. I wanted to let my community know of what is taking place in our libraries. I'm being a bit of a whistleblower, and it wasn't mainstream knowledge as of yet. And then they charged me with criminal harassment. I'm like, how outrageous is this? So now we can't even express, like, well, I disagree, or I don't think this is right, or according to my religion, it says that this is a sin and this is wrong, and I don't think you should do this. So now that's criminal harassment, which I was actually found guilty on, where now currently I'm serving a severe house arrest for 1 year. They wanted 1 year in incarceration and 3 subsequent years of probation, but the judge settled on 1 year house arrest and then 2 subsequent years of probation, where I cannot leave my house without a permission slip of my supervisor. So that we kind of now go into and bleed into of why I got arrested. So I'm on these strict conditions. I have a court hearing because, like I explained, the Crown prosecutor appealed my acquittal. So I have to be at court. I'm attending court. So that's abiding by my conditions. But we show up as Christians, you know, an hour to an hour and a half early because we want to worship God. We want to pray. We want to preach. And we want to gather. And that's something that we've done for years. So we think nothing of it. So we did exactly that. I post some preaching on Facebook. We go to court. And now all of a sudden, I go to a probation office appointment, and 3 officers are waiting for me inside my supervisor's office, arresting me for breaching my conditions. Well, what conditions? Well, you had 2 unapproved church services at the courthouse. So off to jail I go for 62 days, and we fought these breaches under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that I have a freedom to still express myself. I can talk to the media. I can preach. I can worship my God. But they had declared that just because I'm on the courthouse steps out front, that doesn't necessarily constitute or mean that I'm at court per se. And this is how they're splitting the hairs, Butch. Like, it's unbelievable how now that was my crime, going to court a little bit early to worship my God, and that was unapproved, even though I'm supposed to be at court.
And you spend 2 days in jail because of that.
Yes, exactly. And I have a wife, and at the time, my son was 6, 7 months old. So obviously, as a family man, hey, that's a fear. You don't want to be separated from your family. I'm the sole provider. My wife is a nurse, but on mat leave now. So how are we going to survive? And she's on her own doing this. But I just got to really praise, well, God and the body of Christ, where they've really came around us. Pastor Art was a part of that. And, you know, bless him for standing up and showing his support. And it was incredible because not only did they come around my family and encourage and lift us up, and even my home church, you know, bring us meals and even give donations, financial donations, but there was weekly rallies outside the jail where I was held, where I could see outside my jail window about 35 to 45 people rallying around, having a church service, having a vigil, because they were outraged of my unjust incarceration. So they are worshiping Jesus, and they were speaking and preaching and praising God out on the front grass of the jail. So it was just incredible to witness.
Well, now, did they get in trouble for that, or was that okay?
Well, it's public property as far as I'm concerned, and there was no tickets issued, but Pastor Art, I spoke to him today. He's in Florida. He was preaching at a few churches, and he had said that he was threatened, and he was concerned that he could be charged and thrown back in jail. But you know what? He said he came anyways, and we thank God that there was no charges or no fines.
So they were actually trying to shut that down also.
Absolutely. I'd see the officers walk out and talk to them every rally, and they had done this for 2 months straight. Every Sunday, they would gather outside the jail. And, you know, it wasn't just encouraging to me, but the other inmates as well. And,
of course,
you know, the name of God was on the lips of many inmates. And it was just, it was a very cool experience. You know, because of the media attention that I've had on these charges, it was in the paper, it was on the tablet news. A lot of the inmates, they referred to me as preacher. So I saw it as like, you know what, Lord, you got a jail ministry for me here. I'm going to witness. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to preach your name to those who are willing inside. And, you know, the body of Christ and the ralliers, represented by the ralliers, they had the jail ministry doing it outside, and I was doing it inside. And it just, it bore fruit to the glory of God.
Hallelujah. And we know that. We know that just as Joseph was mistreated, but God used it for his glory and actually the salvation of his people. This is the same scenario, only maybe a smaller scale, but still the same thing. And sometimes, though, Brother Derek, I mean, being just people, we sometimes get into pity parties. I know I do. And then I stop and remember, hey, this is my Father's will for me, whatever it may be. Just give me the strength to live it and do the best I can to glorify you and use this for your glory. That's what we have to remember as Christians, although there are times, I just know, we're all just people. We get a little frustrated and discouraged. So is this type of abuse going on in other provinces also, or just Alberta?
You know, this is happening all over Canada. Right now, what's going viral and getting a ton of attention is a worship leader, Sean Voigt, with Let Us Worship. He's having this Canadian tour, and a lot of his venues are getting shut down, and protesters are coming and smoke bombing him on stage, and cops are there not doing anything, and they've actually fined one of the churches for letting them worship, and they've asked Sean Voigt to leave, and there's no charges to these violent, aggressive, intimidating protesters that, again, are throwing smoke bombs. So Rebel News has been covering that extensively, and also just a shout-out to Rebel News. They've been funding my lawyer bills for the most part through these battles for the last bunch of years. Actually, I'd say probably up to 4 years since the COVID era.
Wow. You remind me, I'd like to get a hold of them and get them on this broadcast to give them credit for that and see what we can do to help them. But now, So this has happened all over Canada, basically. And Pastor Arthur won his cases, and I know he's in the process of going after those that are persecuting him legally, and I hope he wins everything they own. But even with the wins he's had, and you've had numerous wins also, the courts don't seem to be getting discouraged at all or getting any sign at all. They're going to slow down. They're still doing it, and it's increasing, is it not?
Yeah, they're drawing from their infinite resources here of tax dollars and funds. They're not settling until they get me convicted on all of these charges. You know, my lawyer said to me, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall, Derek. They're just seeing what's going to stick, and they've overcharged you. Any little thing, they're just throwing all of it at you. And I've been acquitted of some charges, but then I've been convicted of some. And that's why whatever those charges are, like that criminal harassment, for example, then they pretty well max that out and go as harsh as they can without having a public outcry. So even though my lawyer comes in court and says at the sentencing hearing, you know what, here's somebody who's actually committed criminal harassment with hundreds of contacts with this individual, showing up at their house, you know, it's sexual conduct that's insinuated, and they get 8 months, 9 months probation. I did jail time, and for these particular charges, a month, so that's 45 days with time and a half. I was 22 months on bail, so my lawyer said, you know, time served, that's more than enough, given this charge. But they weren't satisfied with that. No, it wasn't then time served. It was all of that plus this year of house arrest, plus two additional years of house arrest, which is way overcharged and over-sentenced. And that's why we're appealing this, we're fighting this. We've even hired now a specialized appeal lawyer that my lawyer even endorsed to lead the charge because he's a trial lawyer. So we need someone who specializes in appeals. So we're raising money to keep battling and keep fighting because this also sets a precedent in Canada. It's not just about me, but it's about future scenarios or cases that are similar where judges can reference and make their decisions. So we need a not guilty verdict, and we're not going to settle for anything less.
Well, now, are there any decent judges in the court system in Canada anywhere that are actually trying to make a difference?
Well, we know there's at least one that found me not guilty originally, and that's where these lawyers believe that I have a strong case because this was a very senior judge who's been around for decades, and they overruled him. So they said, basically, we're just going to work off his 27-page written decision and show how, yes, he is correct. So it gives them a lot of material to work with.
And I don't know how your court system works there. Of course, here we have, you know, county courts and circuit courts and state supreme courts and then, of course, the ultimate Supreme Court. So are you now appealing to a higher court?
Yeah, that's correct. So the decision to appeal, the appeal decision of my not guilty verdict, we are appealing that appeal decision. So I know it's getting confusing even for myself. And it's just exactly like what you said. It's going to a higher court, and we want to hold them accountable. And we want a very, like I said, senior specialized lawyer that recognizes this case and that they cannot get away with, you know, maybe slipping one past an inexperienced lawyer here. So we're feeling confident about this, and we're waiting to get the transcripts in and get the paperwork in and get the ball rolling with this appeal process.
Well, obviously, your lawyer understands and is, of course, on your side. And he sees the injustice with all this, and I think anybody in common sense does. But I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea that they're actually pursuing this and increasing the charges as they go after you were found innocent of the charges 2 years ago, and then put you back in on the same charge. So are there new charges? I mean, are there any new charges that are actual charges, or are they still just running out the old ones?
Well, yeah, they just kind of resurrect these old charges. So then all of the bail conditions that were imposed on me because of those old charges are all now reenacted. But it's kind of funny that my CSO is so severe that even though all these old bail charges are now imposed on my life, it's not anything additional to what I'm already living with. So they're throwing everything at me, but I'm already pretty well at the top of the ladder here with conditions. The only thing I don't have is an ankle monitor, which we applied for actually even just to get out of jail after I was found guilty with these breaches. So I don't know if I mentioned that. Like, we fought these breaches saying, no, I'm not guilty with this. There's a Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and I'm expressing myself through the Constitution. No, still, we were found guilty, which was disappointing. My lawyer had an excellent defense, but the judge had rendered that 2 months was adequate, and that was time served. And I said to my lawyer, hey, even if they need something extra, some incentive or an added condition, I'm fine to throw an ankle bracelet on there. Because from jail, I can't really be a husband and a father to my 7-month-old child. So I need I need to do to get out.
Your Charter Bill of Rights is a little bit like our Constitution. It's been ignored overall. They ignore it. They use it when it's convenient. When it's not, they ignore it. And that's happened in many, 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 many cases here in the States. And the same thing's happened to you. So even with a charter, what you call it, I guess, a Bill of Rights, I mean, the courts obviously know that they're violating them. But it seems that there's not even any concerned that they're doing that with them?
Yeah, so it's frustrating because we read the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, you know, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom to peacefully gather, etc. There's more. And we look at what we're doing, and it's like, is this not allowed? Is this not lawful? And especially as Christians with the disposition of Christ-likeness that we're carrying, it's like, What is so criminal here? So that's why that's been a huge argument in court. But, you know, I've learned firsthand of how fallen that Canada is, that this charter, like you were alluding to, it's just an illusion. It's just like a suggestion. It's just kind of like when it favors them, and it's up to their discretion if they want to abide by that or not. And it seems like it's not even real anymore, and we don't follow it. So
Same thing here in the U.S. overall. About the same thing here also. But you see no let up. I mean, there's no give at all yet in this case, really.
No, not at all. They're hammering me over and over and dragging me to trial after trial. We're going into the third year of courts. And like I mentioned before, it's not just me. Like with the famous trucker convoy that happened in the COVID era, Tamara Leach and Chris Barber, for mischief, for peacefully protesting, the Crown Prosecutor is asking for 7 and 8 years for both of them. Like, this is outrageous. It's unheard of. Even for my case, I was charged with mischief as well, where I was found not guilty for appeal judge to overturn that was unheard of.
Hang on through the break. Folks, back to break. Your phone call is 717-300-1698.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks. We are back and we're talking to Derek Reamer, a man who's been charged twice for the same crime, I guess you, if you want to call it that, found innocent and then recharged on the same thing a couple years later. And had been going through hell on earth, so to speak, because of his stand for what's right and simply questioning a public official, not authority, but a public worker as to why they do certain things. But standing in front of public buildings and saying what they're doing inside is ungodly, immoral, and wrong. He spent too much in jail. He's not telling what's happened to folks. It's happened to others, too. But happened to know Derek Reamer personally by phone and talked to him in the past. This young man has taken a stand. It isn't just for him. Obviously, it's for the glory of God, period. All things to the glory of a Father. That's all there is to it. But in the process of doing that, he's also helping his fellow citizens and his fellow Christians. That's just part of the blessing of serving God. It helps others. And the sad part is that most Americans and most Canadians, I'm sure, would rather go along and get along. They know it's wrong to have that pervert in front of the children, but they don't get involved because they don't have to go through all this hassle, being maybe arrested and going through all this, because it's easier just, yeah, it's wrong, but we can live with it. Let's just go back to our church and act like everything's okay and just wait for the rapture. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, that's the attitude of churches in America also. That is why we're in this hell of a mess in our countries today. Go ahead, Derek. By the way, folks, phone lines open, 717-300-1698. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, so kind of jumping back to what I was sharing on, where they had overturned my acquittal, my not guilty verdict. When that had happened in court, this type of case has never been overturned before, so they didn't even know what to do. And even the Crown suggested, well, okay, now all these charges are reenacted on Mr. Reamer. Maybe he needs to be incarcerated now. And then the judge jumped in saying, no, I don't think that's necessary, because now mischief is recharged against me and causing disturbance is recharged against me. And it was just insane of how, like, the confusion, and the Crown is just going for as much as they can get with however many charges, how much jail time, and to keep me in jail as long as they want, or as long as they can, rather, because even with these 2 months in jail, when we had fought this, then the Crown said, you know what, we're proposing a total collapse of the CSO and that Reimer spends the rest of his time incarcerated. That's another 5 months. So, you know, talking to the boys inside of jail, they say it's normally three strikes, you're out with breaches. So they're all saying, oh, you'll get out in time served. And that's why this Crown has never okayed my release. It's always been contested. He's always been against it. And they're going out for blood. And it's serious. Like, it's a battleground every time that we go to court.
And now, you said that you were caused a disturbance. Was that because you made a comment to the librarian?
Yeah, that was the criminal harassment, where I had addressed the librarian about what is taking place, like that she's in charge and makes a decision of what programs transpire in the library. And I got breached with my bail conditions talking to her. One of my breaches is I can't talk to a known participant of these drag events. And they had rendered and reasoned that, oh, Mr. Reimer, he knew that she was a participant. Well, how would I know that she participates in this program? How would I know that she's there and a part of it? I don't know that. I don't know this person. So there was a lot of charges, even with breaches, that it's not even true. Like, it's fabricated. They're lying. The library manager on trial, she said, Mr. Reimer made me feel upset when he talked to me. My lawyer asked her twice. The judge figured that I intimidated her. That was the word that the judge had used, and then it was in the papers later. The complainant had never even said that. And actually, in the disclosure, it never showed that she even called the police. And also, in trial, there was never a victim impact statement, because I would go out to say, as far as there wasn't an impact that was on this so-called victim. I think the police has actually used her to charge me and shut me down because the mayor wanted to crush the movement of peacefully protesting drag events with Exposing Darkness.
Well, before I forget, is the mayor opposing, facing the opposition because of this stand with the public?
No, I don't know any opposition that's rising up against her in this.
You mean that people are actually are content with her doing this?
You know, I don't even want to say split, but there are people that definitely support it. But unfortunately, Butch, there's a lot of people that like the perverts, the homos, and the drag queens, and love is love culture and embrace that. And you know what? Honestly, a lot of the church, they have scrutinized and demonized and discouraged me from what we were doing. And even flat out said, leadership and churches have even said, you know, I don't know what to do with you. We don't agree with this. And it's, you know, I'm like speechless.
My next question was, how are the local churches, neighborhood churches, acting? So are they supporting you or not? Obviously they're not then.
No, there's been minimal support. And, you know, even with the rallies at the Remand Center, you know, Pastor Art would be asking my wife, like, your home church, where's your pastor? Where are congregants of where you guys attend church? Even at the courthouse, where are other pastors? Where are other Christians? And they just seem disinterested. Maybe it doesn't affect them. You know, life is busy. And I get that to some degree, but, you know, being in jail for 2 months and having probably 12 to 15 rallies at the courthouse and at the jail, like, there's so many opportunities to make an appearance and show support. And it's just, it's scary what's happening in Canada right now, how the church just seems dead, like I said, disinterested. They're just doing their little in between the four walls church dance and don't step outside. And anything kind of confrontational or borderline controversial, they stay away from. They're scared of that. Or we want to be loving and give everybody a hug. And it's like, there's a place for that. But there's also a place to say, this is wicked, this is wrong, this is evil. Just like Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify that its works are evil. If Jesus testifies that his works are evil, shouldn't we go out and say, hey, no, that's wrong, that's corrupt, that's wicked. Repent and turn from your sins. Of course we should.
Well, unfortunately, the pastors of the churches, and I'm saying this flapping down, if the church is that cold, it's the pastor's fault because the pastor's dead also behind the pulpit, and that's just the way it is. so your own congregation that you're a member of and support, a lot of them didn't show up. A lot of those didn't show up either.
Unfortunately, they didn't show up. I asked my wife because she was at all of them, and my wife was speaking, and she was more fiery than the majority of pastors that I know in this city. and I said, well, who came? Did one person come? She said no. She said the pastor came once quickly to court and prayed for her and then left. And I said, you know what, that's just a reflection of how they see this fight and even how they see us too. So this is the hardest trial and struggle of our lives, and they're not even there for us. And that's disappointing. You know, hey, there were some meals, and there were some behind-the-scenes donations, and we appreciate that, but man, you know, faith without works is dead, and we have to rise up and recognize, hey, when there's a window of opportunity that our brothers or sisters are incarcerated or struggling, that we are there for one another. And that's why, Lord, may them not be charged with this sin. But it's like, I want to not have a hard heart towards them and love them, but at the same time, warn everybody. It's like, we need to make sure that we're the hands and feet of Christ, and we're not just sitting home and being, you know, drunk on Netflix and drunk on entertainment. No, it doesn't affect me and my family, so I don't need to go out there and help. What if it happens to you? What if it's your family? And that's why the unity with Pastor Art and other pastors was amazing and phenomenal, and I will always remember that. And, you know, even today,
amen,
Art was talking about how he lost support by unifying with me. He said he lost donors because people are looking into me and looking into my past and my record because I've done prison time. I have a colorful past. It's not a secret. It's part of my testimony. But people are holding that against me. This is like 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. And now not donating to Art and his fight and his battle because Art stands with me. But yet he continues to do it, even at the cost of his own freedom. I'm like, you know what? That's the man of God, and these
amen
are the people that we need to align ourselves with in these last days, because I give my life to this call. I give my life to Jesus Christ, and so be it. If it's jail again, or even, God give me strength, death, so be it. But I'm not seeing that same zeal in the church, and that's very scary for the times that we're in.
Well, it is hard to imagine that your own congregation, most of them didn't show up. I mean, how many would you say, percentage-wise, actually from your church come and rally with you at least two or three times?
Pardon me?
How many members of your church would you say, percentage-wise, come to your rallies at least a few times to stand beside you?
The pastor over the last 2 years, I think he's attended two, maybe three times at the courthouse, which, hey, I'm thankful for, and I commend that. But it's when we're in jail, when I'm in jail, my wife and my son, now when I'm married and have a child, because when I was in jail before, I was single. And like we talked about before we were on the air, it's different. It just is. It's just a bit easier, or rather it's not as hard. But now having a wife and a child, that's a whole new dynamic involved. And when I looked out my jail window and it's like our home church, like they're not there week after week after week, It's very discouraging of, like, you know, what kind of church are we a part of here? Like, should we even remain in this church? And now we're really questioning all of that, and it's too bad, you know, and it's sad. But at the same time, with this fight in our lives and how radical, I guess, we are compared to other Christians and the conviction, the passion the Lord has put in us, it's like, I need to align myself with just these lions and soldiers for Jesus Christ that are willing to go out in the battlefield in the front lines with us and lay it all out there. And unfortunately, there's few. And you know, these few kind of radical John the Baptist. But you know what? With the few, the Lord is going to do great exploits and great wonders. And we're just going to, you know, really cherish and appreciate those that are here and that are with us. So, hey, praise God for that.
Amen. Folks, the line is open. I can't believe nobody's calling. 717-300-1698. So, out of the ones that showed up continually, you had a fair number that showed up every time, right?
Yeah, and actually, it grew week by week, I would say. And the last rally, it was just awesome because it was my birthday, actually. And they had a big birthday party out there for me, and I wasn't even there because the jail had transferred me to another jail in another city about three and a half hours north in Edmonton. So I think the jail was fed up with all the noise and all the attention that I was getting in the paper, in the media, out front with the rallies. And they're like, okay, let's get this guy out of there. That's what my lawyer thinks, and we all speculate. So twice I was shipped off to Edmonton. So I was coming back from Edmonton from court, and they had the rally outside and the birthday party, and the numbers were just growing. So, I thank all of those soldiers to come out and not even just honoring me, but it's honoring Christ and it's witnessing and doing God's will.
That's the key thing, that they're glorifying God and obeying their Savior. That's the key factor. That's what they're doing it for. But in so doing, they're also respecting who you are and standing beside you. Now, this is my suggestion. Perhaps you ought to start another church and invite those who gathered to your church. Obviously, they're going to stand. Your home church didn't back you very well. Start another fellowship and invite all those who had the Christian guts enough to stand, invite them to the new fellowship. That's what I probably will do myself, but anyway, it's just me. But I understand, because you can't go back in fellowship among them. These people deserted you. They deserted Christ in the calling. They would have done the same thing to Christ or Paul or Peter. I mean, and they said, well, he was in jail before. But Paul wrote most of the New Testament from jail. What is going on with these people?
Yeah, and it reminds me actually in 2 Timothy where it talks about the abandoned apostle, and so many had abandoned Paul. So I'm just, even though it's hard to read and to experience, it's not anything odd or strange, and that happened back then, it happens now. But again, I don't want to be upset and grudgeful with those people. I want to pray for them, but at the same time recognize, hey, they're just not where I'm at, or I'm not where they're at. We're on different places and different levels and focuses, and I want to really focus on those that are in the game. They're in the battle.
Man,
and,
amen.
And with Mission 7 every week, I invite them to come down, and we can preach, and we can pray, and we can worship and be loud right downtown Calgary. And we had a Unity Revival barbecue this last Saturday, so a lot of those same usual suspects came out, and we rocked it, and we were loud, having, you know, 7-8 different preachers and some different pastors, and just being noisy downtown, preaching the gospel and exposing darkness and feeding the homeless while we're doing all that. So it was a beautiful time.
Amen. Well, I say this out loud, but of course you need to pray for those people. I understand that. But they were soldiers in battle who did not follow in the battle. So you cannot really trust them with your back towards against them. You can't trust them with your back. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You have to go. You have to stand with those who are willing to stand for Christ and unify together. And that's just what I'm seeing happening across the country. Let's take a phone call right here from West Virginia. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you, Butch, for taking my call. The one thing that I have seen, I saw this in Pastoral too, is that, and it's happening in this country as well, that these people are absolutely frightened of this man. And they are so frightened of him because they are in love with Satan. I can't think of any other reason why they're doing what they're doing. Unfortunately, they have a double jeopardy law. That's sad. And, you know, even in this country, things like that still happen.
But of course they do.
And they're just absolutely frightened of this man. They're not trying him. They are actually trying Jesus Christ. They're trying to shut Jesus Christ up. They're not trying to shut this man up. They're trying to shut Jesus up. I can't think of anything else. The Apostle Paul. Peter. Stood before the Sanhedrin. They told him, do not speak any more in his name. They weren't afraid of Peter. They were afraid of Jesus Christ because they crucified him and killed him.
You brought this man's blood on us. In other words, they made him feel guilty of what they did to Christ. That's what Derek's doing. They're making him feel guilty because of what they're doing to Christ and his laws, his word. Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah. Anything else, Joe?
And, you know, well, in Go Romans ahead. Chapter 1, I think it's verse 28, it says they served the creation instead of the creator. They knew the yes. God that they're serving. It's Lucifer. They know that. And they know that, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, he stands on his ground in the truth and keeping the law and in all creation, and they know that too. So they know what
Absolutely.
God they serve.
Amen, thought, they do.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I could say on that point there.
Well, good point, Joe. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good
You're
call.
Welcome.
717-300-1698. Now, Derek, so what's your next move? What's playing next?
Well, today I was hoping to get a quote in for some of these transcripts from this unjust decision of this appeal overturning my acquittal. I haven't heard from my lawyer today, so I'm hopefully tomorrow, and we got to get those transcripts into my new expensive specialized appeal lawyer, where he's ballparked some scary numbers, and we're thankful for Rebel News, but they have a lot of cases that they're fighting, so they can't fund every single trial, but they've done the majority of it. So this one is more landing on us, and we are buffing up our defense team, so that's why we're trying to raise, you know, like $50,000 to $60,000 if this lawyer takes our case, but he's waiting to look to see if it's worth taking, but it sounds like he will. But that's where we're at right now, and everything
you know,
costs money.
You say if it's worth taking. You mean if it's worth his effort to win it, you mean?
For him, because he's very experienced, and he wants to read it all first and look at the case before he commits to it. But regardless, I said to my lawyer right now, we're going to do it with or without him, even if you have to do it as a trial lawyer. We're gonna go for it. So that's why we're gonna wait and see what happens with him. But yeah, everything costs money to get those transcripts, to have him read it. But again, we believe that this fight is worth it. The kids are worth it, and as this sets a precedent moving forward, that's worth it as well. And we need that in Canada.
Amen. Well, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to first off, I want you to help me get a hold of the gentleman you mentioned earlier. Please do that. But also text me your mailing address for donations. I want to tell the folks, if you're listening tonight and you want to send a $5, $10, $20, $50 donation to Brother Derek, I'm going to be sending one myself this coming week, I promise. I'm going to send I hope, and that won't be a fortune, but it's going to be enough to make it worthwhile to send to him, because this man has earned it. Now, I mean that for the glory of God, not for him. I respect Derek. That's why I'm sending it to him. Didn't respect him, I wouldn't help him, but I'm going to be sending a donation to you, Derek. It won't be a fortune. It'll be something towards your casework right now. And folks, if you want to help him, you send the funds to us, and I promise you I'll get them to Derek, because Derek's going to send me his address. And Derek, be sure and text it to me so I can get that address on my phone so I can send it to you while when the funds come in, okay?
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate that. And I understand the connotation with asking for money and how people can hear that sometimes. And, you know,
Of course.
Money,
of course.
Makes me uncomfortable as well to talk about it. But at the same time, the Lord has put it on my heart, like, you know what? But being a minister of God, you got to talk about everything and humble yourself and ask. So that's why I'm giving people an opportunity to partner with us in this battle, partner in prayer, partner in a financial donation, partner in, you know, if they're in the city, show up to court, show up to rallies. There's different ways to partner, maybe a letter of encouragement. But I just want to throw it out there at the body of Christ and say, hey, this is what we're doing and battling, and if you want to join in, that you're welcome to, and this is how.
Okay. Let's squeeze in one more quick phone call. Let's talk to Alice in Arkansas. Alice, you got about 30 seconds, honey. Come on in.
Oh, I can't get it in. I don't have enough time to get that in then, Pastor Butch. I'm so
sorry. Well, go ahead and say what you can. We'll give you what we can.
I can't possibly, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Next time, give us a little bit early, if you don't mind. Okay, sorry about that. But anyway, we will do what we can to help. And, folks, a donation, I promise you, if you send us here, you put a note in there, this is for Derek, D-E-R-E-K, or just say Pastor in Canada. We will know where it's going, and I promise you, every cent you send me will be sent to Canada. And I do mean that. Although mailing a letter to Canada is expensive anymore. It's unbelievable the cost of postage for anything. But, Derek, I want to thank you personally, and I respect what you're doing. You're a young man. You got a young family. you have a fire for Christ in your heart, and you're trying to do what's right. And I want to tell you, I respect that. I'm an old man now. I'm glad men like you are stepping up to the plate, because I'll be leaving this battle one day. And I'm glad somebody like you, even though you're in Canada and I'm in the U.S., we're all standing for the same Christ, and that we're in the same war, are we not?
Yeah, absolutely. And we need more John the Baptist and Pauls and Gideons. We need these soldiers of Christ to rise up and have a voice and stand for truth and righteousness in these last days.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Derek, again. We're just about 45 seconds there, a minute or so left. Thanks a lot, and you please send me your address, and you tell everybody we'll do what we can. Help me find the gentleman you mentioned earlier, and I want to get him on the program also, okay? And God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you, and thanks for having me on, Butch.
Oh, you're welcome, Derek. Folks, I'm sorry about that. Run out of time. I really hate that for Alice's sake, because she's a sweetheart trying to do what's right. But it's just there's so much happening. This war, as a song says, this is war. This war is not slacking up. It's going to get hotter and harder. Now, folks, we haven't seen even the tip of the iceberg on this yet. We, as Americans, and Canadians too, somewhat, have become soft because we haven't been persecuted. You see the apathy in the Canadian church. You can see the apathy in the American church. If there's one thing that the Church of Christ should not be, is apathetic. We should not be cold. We should not be lukewarm. We should be on fire for Christ. And because we have not been, this nation has accepted all manner of evil and perversion, decadence, fraud, thievery, anything you think of that's evil, our nation and Canada have accepted it and embraced it in a sense, because after all, we can't do anything about it, and we have to obey the laws of the land, right? This is what we're facing today in America, and what we want to call the church. It's not really the Church of Christ. I'm not saying they're not good people, maybe trying to figure out what to do, and maybe some are truly saved and confused. But you see, Satan, I'm going to do a lesson on this weekend on Seeds of Doubt. Satan puts a little seed of doubt because some pastor somewhere said, well, Romans 13 says you have to obey the government. They have no idea the context of that lesson and what it really means. They have no idea. If that were true, then Christ himself was a great sinner. I mean, we've seen this. We know this. You and I know it, but the masses don't. It is our job to set an example before them. And to be quite honest with you, folks, in mass, as a whole, the church in America has become a pathetic, weak, cesspit pus sore that once called itself the body of Christ. Not nice, but true. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.